Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spontaneous Spirit Thought with Panda and Lion on the WithInsightsRadio.com network. The call-in number is 646-595-3440. The chat room will be open as well. Again, that call-in number is 646-595-3440. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com. I'm Iggy Garcia. This is Spontaneous Spirit Talk Radio, the 7 p.m. edition. I'm here, and I am joined by my good friends, Adriana Arts and David Two Crows.
Hello there.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. This is my third time on this week, so I hope I'm not, like, overexposing myself and people are getting tired of me already.
No one's called in it. No one's called in and say, hey, we don't want David on the show. So I think you're okay.
Always welcome, brother.
And they're always asking where Adriana's at, though. What happened to that girl? She had her show. She was so good. So she's just taking a break.
That's right. She balances you guys out, you know. She's the voice of calmness and reason.
Or something.
Yeah, we know better than that, though.
Mark called me tonight. We just hung up a few moments ago, and we are discussing plans for my show this month to air on the 30th, the last Wednesday of March. Hopefully that's okay. At 7 p.m. or 6, I'll have to check with Mark because he is my guest on that one to see which time works best for him. It might be 7. So... but it's
awesome.
Going to be an interesting show, yeah, and looking forward to that. It's the first one in quite a while for me.
Do you have a subject or anything yet?
We're kind of looking over strange disappearances, missing persons, strange disappearances, but we're also looking at touching on... the astrology charts that go with a case that he's going to pick. So we're going to tie in a few things. But, we're going to have a couple of links that we'll also post probably in the comment section so people can see like a cluster map where large number of people go missing every year in certain areas. A lot of them happen to be national parks, and take it from there, you know. So, but we will pick one case in particular, maybe two, and look at some of the charts of those individuals. And I think we're going to try to stick with an unsolved missing person, or maybe even a group of people. You know, there's... Mm-hmm. There's groups of people that have been known just to go missing, thousands of people sometimes.
Really?
It's just interesting, and it's a mystery, and, things that I'm curious about. So that's what my show's about, those things that make us go,
Yes, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
I disappear, but I am found.
Huh?
I said I disappear sometimes, but I'm found.
Yes, well. You do. I think we all do.
Well, I thought we'd light a little sage here in the main studio, just to kind of set the tone. And that way we can channel in some really good positive energy. I know some of our shows have challenged the topics of politics and the law of attraction and different things like that. I kind of want to take it in a different route today. I think, David, you had some topic that you might wanted to throw out at the panel today.
Well, yeah, you know, since we're kind of spontaneous spirit talk here, I thought I would just start off with something and then we can go where we where we go with it, you know. But I had a really interesting dream last night, you know, and I wanted to take a few minutes and relate that to you and our listeners tonight. And it was a dream that ended towards, I think, the end of where it was going. So as I was, I got up and walked Bo out in the early morning. It gave me some time to think and put a few more pieces in there and kind of come up with a real narrative storyline that I believe this dream was trying to tell me. And so I will, I'll start it out, but,
okay.
You know, I'm leaving out some of the juicier parts, you know how dreams are, but I'll, cause I want to keep this PG, but I will definitely kind of just move through it as we go. But
hey, as long as my name doesn't come up, I'm cool with that.
Those are probably pretty important aspects of it, David. That's why I said at least kind of breathe something about this.
Yes, actually, there was. What were you going to say, Iggy?
I want to give a shout out to our good friend Mark Matheny. He's listening to our show. I can see his two fish astrology popping up on the chat room. So, Mark, hello. More than welcome to call.
Hello. We love you. My favorite astrologer.
All right. On to the dream.
Okay. On to the dream. So, it started out with me. With there being this group of scientists or researchers in Switzerland that came out with this drug. And now this drug was like a combination of ecstasy, Viagra, and a birth control. It was like amazing. People just, you felt like you were like 21 again if you were old. And if you're 21, you felt like you were double 21. You know, it was off the charts. And so the FDA, the World Health Organization, they studied it, and they couldn't find anything wrong with it. And it just spread. It spread across the world, and people just loved it, you know. And even in the countries like, say, Korea and China and the Middle East, where they're a little more, you know, reserved and everything, it was underground. You know, there were clubs popping up everywhere, like sex clubs, I guess you could describe it, you know, where people would just go and let themselves be wild and crazy, and it didn't seem to matter, you know. And then something happened, you know, and it was probably about, it felt like maybe 6 months or a year in, things changed, and people realized that they couldn't get pregnant anymore, you know, that they couldn't conceive for some reason. So they did more research and found out that this drug was actually was changing us on a DNA level, that it was actually making the population, say, 98% to 99% sterile. And so there was a big outrage and a backlash, and they went to look for these people that had discovered it, you know, but they were gone. And all that was left was a message that these people had actually come through a portal that CERN had opened up between dimensions, and they had come to save us from a future where we would be totally wiped out by our population explosion, that we would be destroyed. So they came back to give us this drug, this sterilization thing to control the population, to keep us, because we wouldn't do it ourselves. They knew that. So it was more of an involuntary thing, but it was really for our own interests, you know. And then it all goes back to those, I introduced you guys to the Georgia Guidestones. I didn't know if you knew about those, but they're in Georgia, and they are written in 8 different languages, but it's like 10 commandments, you might say, or 10 guidelines for a new society. And the very first one says to maintain humanity at under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. And these are real. These actually exist, and you can go visit them today. The second is to guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. The third is to unite humanity with a new living language. The fourth is to rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. The fifth is to protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. The sixth is to let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. The seventh is avoid petty laws and useless officials. The eighth is balance personal rights with social duties. The ninth is prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And the tenth is, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. That's actually repeated twice. So, I don't know. That was my dream, and it was just kind of a pretty powerful one just to experience that and go, wow, you know, what if that could really happen? You know, what if...
Mm-hmm.
So...
Do you think there's a part of you... Do you think there that it's happening now and we're just not aware? I mean, you know what I think about pharmaceuticals and what they really do to people that take them. I mean, you take one pill and you've mm-hmm. got 20 other things that it actually causes to go wrong in your body. I mean, I've thought for a long time, actually I was having a discussion just the other day that, you know, 20-30 years ago, they really used to pump birth control. That's all you've seen on commercials, and that's all you ever heard about was you need to go here and get on birth control, birth control this and birth control that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hear anything about birth control anymore. Don't you find that funny? Do you want to know why? Do you ever wonder why? Because there isn't really a need for it anymore. There's other things out there that are controlling our population. And that's just my personal thought there, but I'd say there's already plenty of drugs out there that cause that to happen as far as what your dream. We already know they're out there, you know, Viagra, ecstasy, you know, let's get the high as we can get, and then Viagra, let's make love and babies as much as we can there for at least 4 straight hours, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they are out there. So your dream is just kind of, I don't know, to me it kind of relates to, you know, any drug that you're taking is sort of already a form of birth control. And I'd be curious to even see the rise of the rates of, you know, miscarriages that are held by women now. How much it's, I would almost bet you the rate of miscarriages has really risen a lot.
I think you're right. I think, you know, there's been a lot of fertility drugs that are coming out now mm-hmm. too, that because people just can't seem to conceive as easy as they could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's good people out there that want babies that can't have babies, you know, mm-hmm. and then they go take fertility drugs, and next thing you know, they're having 6 babies at one time. What's
mm-hmm.
wrong with that picture? I mean, there is something wrong with that picture. It's like a dog having a litter of pups or something there. That's not normal.
Yeah, you can even think that maybe, you know, people who can afford pharmaceuticals because they have insurance or whatever, they seem to be the ones that don't necessarily have. They have the fertility problems, but poor people don't necessarily. Sometimes they go without medications, without things, and they seem to have more kids. So your mm-hmm. sheep base sometimes comes from your poor base, you know, from the people who are poor. And so that's kind of
right.
why in your middle class kind of, you know, they're the ones that are kind of small. And it's just something to think about, something to chew on, like a raw high bone.
That's true. You know, and if we've thought about this, if we've thought about, oh, the population is growing and that could be a real threat to our species, you know that other people have thought about that and do with higher and longer than we have, you know, and so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if there's a plan in place to more or less, I guess you could say, you know, cull the herd or decrease the human population if it gets out of hand, like, they, you know, because more people to answer to or to rule, you know, it's more problems. So, you know, and I don't know about these guide stones because they are pretty mysterious about the way they showed up too. Back in late 1979, a person who only identified himself as, was a J.C. Christian, came to this person, this stone maker in Georgia there, and wanted to create this monument, and he wanted to get the money for it. You know, the stone maker wanted to get the money for it. So he, in a few months, this man came, and he had multiple deposits coming in from different bank accounts, but it all added up to the money that was needed. So these stones were created and they were placed on May 22nd, 1980, basically in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's a hill in just rural Georgia that has these four stones and then a capstone, and there are astronomical alignments within these stones. And as I say, they're written in eight different languages. Some of them are no longer spoken, like Babylonian. But so it's really a very strange, a strange monument, and with a mysterious origin. And it, of course, it's been linked to, you know, the New World Order, the Illuminati, all the, you know, the satanic influences and everything that has been attributed to it. On the surface of it, though, the messages themselves don't seem to be too outrageous, you know. The one that scares people the most, I think, is the maintaining humanity at 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. People have pointed to that and said that's the New World Order there. They want to eliminate most of the population and keep us under control there. And so, I don't know. I'm still kind of ambivalent about it. I don't know if it was set up for that purpose, but it's definitely a mystery, you know, and someone somewhere knows, and he's not talking, no. The last person who... That's right. The last person who knows is still alive, the man who ran the granite place, and he's sworn to secrecy, and he said he won't. He said, you can put a gun to my head, and I'm not going to tell you who that person is, because my word means something. But it was interesting to read about that today and find out a little more about that. I'm sure that Mark knows about it, so if he wants to call in and talk about it, that would be good, too. But, yeah.
Well, I kind of put that plug in his ear.
But, Iggy, you said you had kind of a strange dream, too. Did you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, mine's X-rated. No, I'm just joking. No, mine was kind of interesting, you know, because my topics on a lot of the shows we've been doing has been about parallels and dimensional rifts in the continuum that we're in. I kept having this dream last night that I was trying to get back to where my origin point was. So every time there was this one connection I had with this hot water tank in a basement somewhere. So it kind of reminded me like a Doctor Who scenario. Every time I would touch the hot water tank, it would take me into another parallel. Like I'd shift into another parallel, and then I would see things playing out. And what I was trying to do was trying to fix something. I was trying to correct something that was that needed fixing. And not the hot water tank, but it was more like something that happened in the sense of in my life or
something.
Yeah, timeline. And so I was trying to fix it. And then, you know, the more I tried to fix it, the more combobulated it got and more screwed up it got. And so eventually I ended up coming to this one point where I stayed in one parallel and I just worked through there and just was trying to process. And then I went back to the hot water tank and it was a different one. And I was like, why is it different? And then when I touch it, it'd do the same thing. It'd take me, but it was a lot quicker, a lot faster. So it was really interesting to associate that hot water tank, you know, just with what was going on, and particularly in that moment in my dream state. I was never fearful. I was never afraid. It was really interesting. It was just like I couldn't quite figure out what I was trying to mend or put back together or what I was trying to fix. It was almost like going back in time and trying to save John F. Kennedy, but I could never get to the point where I needed to go because I went either too far or I wasn't close enough. So that was my dream last night. It was actually really entertaining, but it was really just really annoying too.
Yeah. What was the finale of your dream when you woke? What were you doing when you woke?
I just remember I just had enough and just got up. I just woke up. Just like, gotta get up. I don't want to go through this anymore. Somehow I knew I could get out of it. So, and I did.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like that. Whenever you try to correct something, you know, we don't see that correction makes something else happen that wouldn't have happened, and then that goes forward, and, you know, before you know it, things are worse off than like people would say, oh, I'd go back in time and I'd kill Hitler. Well, maybe if you killed Hitler, he wouldn't have risen to power, but then again, the State of Israel may never have come to be, because that was an effect of World War II and the Holocaust on the Jews, and so people wanted to get them back their homeland, so there wouldn't have been a State of Israel. So everything has consequences.
Could have got worse, right?
Yeah. We
might have been dealing with three people who were, you know, crazy and insane.
Mm-hmm.
And they just needed one to keep everybody insane. But yeah, you got a good point.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, kind of interesting, though, that our dreams both involve parallel dimensions and, things going on under the surface that we're not aware of, but are affecting us.
Well, look how water is used in ceremonies. Water in dreams, you know, depending on if you see the water, kind of determines what the meaning is behind the dream. Yours, Iggy, you didn't really see the water, but it was a water tank, correct? But you know, look how water connects all of the world, all of the lands. I mean, water is used for a lot of things. Water is important to the survival of our human race, you know. And unfortunately, it's really hard to find clean water anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, water's a very important factor in the human race, the human life, the existence of it, and the existence of our Earth. It's a connector of all of the worlds, all of the countries. Water is our connector, you know.
That's right. We like to say we have seven seas, you know, the Pacific, Atlantic, and all the other oceans that but really it's all just one. It's one big ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Ego. Just ego.
Yep.
We need seven seas.
We have to name them.
According to the Bible, at one time, the world was destroyed by water, so all of it was water at one time.
Yeah, water has that purification factor, that connotation of, you know, washing away the dirt, the problems, the, you know, a new start. In dreams too, you if you're in water or underwater, that almost can mean like the subconscious or, you know, the greater mind too, because it's sort of where we all merge together, is in the ocean of life and of that great subconscious that we share. So dreams are very important, you know, and even though sometimes mine seem pretty silly, sometimes they come along like the one last night where, you know, it means something, you know, it's got some significance because it's telling a story. It's leading me places where I need to see, things I need to experience and process with my conscious mind. So I believe that that higher self or spirit or God is speaking to us through our dreams even more now. Those of us that are trying to listen and maybe a little more in tune with that that voice, you know, the inner voice. So, yeah, dreams are becoming very very important.
All right, let's take a really quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll bring Mark on so he can give us his input on the hot water tank.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to With Insights Radio. Our episode today is called Spontaneous Spirit Talk Radio with Iggy Garcia, Adriana Arts, David T. Crows, and a special guest, Mark Matheny, will join us here in a minute. We hope you're enjoying the show. We're just kind of chatting, talking about our dreams, talking about the things that, you know, go around in our head, the Georgia, I want to call them henchstones almost, you know, it almost sounds like henchstone. But,
all right.
The guide stones, but it's like the hinge stone, you know, like, what's it called in the UK?
Stonehenge?
Stonehenge, right? That's kind of reminds
right.
me of that. Now, we're back. We have returned. And Mark, are you with us?
I am with you.
Okay. I'm unhinged. Sorry. We had everything backwards.
Are.
I sound like Yoda right now.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Was that the Joker?
No, that was actually Yoda.
Oh.
Well, he must have taken some of that stuff from my dream last night. That's what.
Yeah.
He must have. Feel the force around you.
I've got your force right here, Yoda. Well, hey, anyway, Mark, I was mentioning the Georgia Guidestones and what they say on the surface of them, and you are all very well connected with the conspiracy theories surrounding them. So did you want to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it pretty well, but I mean, just a couple notes, I guess. I mean, obviously, the name of the person who came up with the money is fake. I mean, J.C. Christian, I mean, is J.C. for Jesus Christ Christian. So, it's obviously...
It was R.C.
R.C. Okay.
Well, R.C. Cola guys, huh? Okay.
I'd have to go back and read that again, but there's some mention about conspiracy theorists thought the RC was for a secret society that was formed back in, I think, the 1600s.
The Rosicrucians?
Yes, yep. That's it.
Funny, I would know that off the top of my head.
Funny you would.
Of course I would.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
To me, the obvious thing is if you pay, I mean, obviously that would have cost hundreds of thousands or, you know, dollars at least. I mean, why would you pay that much money to have a statue built and not want your name affiliated with it? Unless there was some nefarious meaning to it, you know. So, I mean, if you're doing it to promote a certain thing that people would agree with, then, you know, if I built a statue of bunny rabbits, I'd want to have my name on it, you know. So,
here's an interesting thing too. There's a couple of markers that are on this thing too. It says, the sponsors are a small group of Americans who seek the Age of Reason. Now, that harkens back to the Age of Reason actually was a pamphlet put out by Thomas Paine, one of our founding fathers, you might say, who was a deist, in that deists believe that you can discover or find God through nature and the rational mind rather than through the Bible and blind faith. He was very much opposed to that. And the Age of Reason actually links back to that, that these are somehow people who connect with that, which was risen out of what we called the Illumination, you know, the kind of the renaissance of our, you know, this ancestors back there when they freed themselves from monarchies and, you know, oppressive systems. It was seen as kind of an illumination of the rational mind coming out of all of the dominance by the church. So that's kind of an insight there. And also there was supposed to be evidently a time capsule placed beneath this monument, because there's an inscription that says placed 6 feet below this spot on, and the date is blank, and it says to be opened on, and that date is blank. So whether there's a time capsule in there, and we'll find out one day when to open it, I don't know. But just some more mysteries to add in there, too. I'm sorry, I didn't need to take away from that, but go ahead.
No, absolutely. Yeah, so I guess we can go ahead and open it then, right, because there's no open date on it?
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
we should open till the apocalypse.
Get a petition. Maybe we should petition that.
That would be a very good idea. That would at least maybe make somebody talk that knows something. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's a population control message on there, mm-hmm. since I'm sure even in I think you said 1980 when they built that, there was way over 500 million people at that point. So,
oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It was more like probably 2.5 to 3 billion people in the world at that point. And So
tell us about the initials again, the secret society that they referenced, that those initials could have referenced been for, what did you call them, Rosicrucians?
Rosicrucians, and I...
Yeah.
What do you know about those?
I am not an expert on that. I do know there are some Rosicrucian groups in Columbus. That I think we might even know some people in the philosophical secret society. Supposed to have been found in late medieval Germany, built on esoteric truths of the ancient past. So I would think it would be in similar line to, it says they're partially devoted to the universal reformation of mankind. I would figure they're along the lines of, probably the Freemasons and some other groups that maybe there are maybe two. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Maybe there's a couple groups of people
involved there.
I am not, I don't know nearly as much about the Rosicrucians as I do the Freemasons. So I can't really tie them to anything. I know there are some operating groups here. There are many different, I guess how I kind of look at it is there are many different esoteric secret society occult knowledge groups that have formed throughout time, each with different agendas of how they would like to see the world run and the kind of knowledge that is passed around. I am not enough of an expert on the Rosicrucians to tie them to any kind of ne'er-dwelling or anything. I don't even know if that's a word.
No, we kind of get
But yeah, but there's, and I'm sure in a lot of these groups, just like pretty much every group that exists on the earth, there's, at least two factions of the group where one faction has a view of how they want to see the world run and to see how they want to see mankind move forward. And then there's usually another group within that same order that maybe wants to manipulate things behind the scenes.
Oh, so you're talking about our government.
Like I said, like pretty much with every group, just like... the Freemasons are the one talked about the most, and that, you know, I've known Freemasons and stuff, and by and large, most of them are, I think, very good, nice people. That, but it's just like any group or any company, that people in the lower levels don't really know what the agenda is for the people at the top levels, because they only see their little segment, their little part of, you know, what's going on. Just like some of these big banks that, you know, that get these bailouts and things like that are always, I don't think the tellers when you go into a bank are bad people. I think they're just average people that have a job and it's at a bank. I don't think they're part of any, even for companies or organizations that I think have ill intent overall, the bottom level people are just regular people, you know, trying to feed their family and whatnot. It's just they don't know all the information that's there, so they don't see how all the little different pieces, parts fits together, because they're not, the closer you are to the center of the spider web where the spider is, that's where all the impulses and signals go out. If you're further out in the spider web, then all you know is your little section of the spider web. Is that vague enough?
Yeah, that works. Ooh.
So I did, before I forget this, I did not have a I did not have any weird dreams, but I've had two kind of really interesting synchronistic experiences that have kind of tied themselves together recently that I thought maybe would be of interest.
Okay, let's go.
So, you know, about 2.5 weeks ago, one of our really good people in our metaphysical community here, Tom Benedict, passed away from illness. So that was a shocking thing, and you guys talked about it a little bit. I think it was maybe last Monday's show or the one before that. So I just had a weird string of events, probably 3 or 4 days after Tom passed away. I got an email from someone that I didn't know, and it says, hi, I'm looking for, my name is such and such, and I'm looking on some insights onto some relationships and some other personal things that I have going on. And Tom Benedict had given me your info like a year ago, and I just kind of now stumbled across it and, you know, wanted to set up a reading and whatnot because he suggested I do so. And so I'm like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And, you know, so I set up a reading with him and everything, and I, you know, I replied to him like, yeah, I was very sad to hear about Tom, and, you know, thanks for contacting me. Really amazing you found my info after a year and everything. And I go and meet with the guy, and he's like, I didn't even know Tom had passed away until you said that, replied back in your email. So this, Tom had written down my information for this. He had met him at one of the expos here, and the guy was, I guess, telling Tom kind of what was going on. So he goes, yeah, I think Mark would be able to help you with this. And Tom just hand wrote a little on a piece of paper my info for him. This guy had lost it for a year, found it a couple days after Tom, or maybe the day Tom passed even. I don't know the exact day he found it. So Tom sent me a reading from the other, a referral from the other side. And so, yeah, the guy was like, he was buddy. He's like, I had no idea. And I found that out when I went to the reading, to do the reading with the guy, that he didn't know that Tom had passed. And I'm like, wow, that's just, that's freaky.
Wow, yeah.
So, and you know, I just, I have no belief at all in randomness or synchronicity. I don't believe there's any evidence of it. I think it's just you know, they say 97% of the universe is black matter and 70% of our brain is unused. I think we just don't have the equipment to measure this stuff yet. I don't think, I see no evidence of randomness. I think everything is synchronistic and connected by the thoughts and energy we put out there. So to further back that up, I took a half day off work today so I could start watching the basketball tournament, and I had a couple of errands to do. I need to go get my driver's license renewed. So, you know, I came home, dilly-dallied for a while, made some lunch, watched some basketball, took a short nap, paid some bills, yada, yada, yada. So then it's later in the afternoon, and I'm like, you know what, I should go over now. It's St. Patrick's Day. Everyone's out drinking or watching basketball or whatever, and it's late afternoon before everyone gets off work. I bet I can go over to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and just walk right in. So I go in there, and there's hardly any line there. I was the first person in line, so after they were done waiting on the people they were waiting on, they called me over. And, of course, you expect, you know, people were probably talking politics or, you know, whatever, basketball tournament or St. Patrick's Day or whatever. No, the three women working there are apparently one woman had just lost her mother, and they're talking about getting messages from the other side. So if I had not gotten out of work early, dilly-dallied for the proper amount of time, and went over to the BMV right at that time when they were talking about this woman's mother contacting her from the other side and sending her messages, I would have not heard any of that conversation, and it just would have been a, you know, ho-hum, yeah, renew my license, yada, yada. But I told them the story I just told you about Tom and about how, you know, they were trying to console the one woman a little bit. It sounded like her mother had passed away recently. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, you know, people definitely communicate to you from the other side. And I told them the story about Tom. And then just how, you know, I get messages from my dad all the time, just little, you know, just odd things that, like, only he would know or say that just kind of pop up, like, out of nowhere. So this wasn't – I didn't have a dream to share, but that was an interesting synchronistic experience that –
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the veil is thin, whether we're dreaming or whether we're in walking life, waking life here, you know, walking around. It's basically the same experience, only we're, sometimes we're more in tune with receiving the messages when we're asleep than we are with our conscious mind so focused on day-to-day life and all the other thoughts that are in our head. But I do believe that, yeah, the veil is thin and messages are coming through in all kinds of ways. It's just too obvious that it's happening. So, yeah, we're all having those experiences in our own, at our own level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm seeing all of that.
I'd say the veil is extremely thin right now. The sun is still in Pisces for a couple more days, and in fact, right now there's, I think, 5 planets in Pisces. So there's a lot of that energy there, and that Pisces energy is very dreamlike, very ethereal, very otherworldly. Contacts with the other side come about much easier because that veil is so thin right now, or I'm not even sure that the veil's even up and working right now. It's just, I bought a CD last week. It was really good. It's by Jeff Buckley. Speaking of visitations from the other side, I mean, he died in about 20 years ago, and they had just found these old recordings of his and cover songs of a couple of my favorite songs just happened to be on there. So it's just, and it was, I hadn't heard anything about this. I just ran across it. I'm like, well, I'll be damned. Jeff Buckley's got a new CD out. It's like, you got to Gotta slow down a little bit once you're dead. That's what I think. But that was a interesting visitation from the other side, and that's why I love music so much, because it's a memorial. It's a, speaking of the time capsule, I mean, that's a time capsule to go in and look at, you know, the person who made that music. That's a look at, you're looking through the camera lens, seeing what was going on with them in their life at that time. So
yeah.
That was just another interesting little visitation, I guess.
Well, I had something interesting not too long ago, and it was really kind of strange. I actually had texted Diggy and Mary that morning after this really strange dream. And this dream was just, it was in the now. And it made me wonder what your mind really does connect to, or what it's able to connect to, when you go into the dream state. And what was strange was there was a girl in my dream who I've never met in person. I could describe her to a T, with red, real curly hair and these really big blue eyes. And in my dream, I was in my house. But it was just so now. I mean, it was so vivid, so real. And so this girl and I come face to face with each other, and I know without even speaking to her that she's a really bad energy, and she's got almost like spell casting bad, the black arts. And so I look at her, and she has a handwritten, she handwrites on a piece of paper in red the name Sandra Bullock, who, of course, is the actress. And in my dream, you know, that is who that is. It's the actress, and I know it is. And she writes that her name in red on this piece of paper, and she holds it up to me in my dream. And I knew that meant that she wrote her name down because she was like casting a spell, and that this meant she was going to die, that Sandra Bullock was going to die. And a couple of other weird things happened, but my whole voice changed in this dream, and I was kind of like defending against this from happening. And I went up to this girl looking at this piece of paper, and I actually said these words, which I've never said in a dream or otherwise. But I looked right at her, and this is how I knew it was some kind of like spell casting. And I actually said, hocus pocus, foil and focus, like that. And yeah, it was so, and it wasn't even my voice. I'm telling you, it was almost like I can't even explain the voice that came out of me when I said this to her, and I looked her right in her eyes. And so then I wake up from this dream. Now, keep in mind, I said hocus pocus, okay, in my dream. So I wake up, and it's 4:30 in the morning. And I wake up right at 4:30, and the first thing I do, because this dream, the feeling, and it was so real and vivid to me it meant something, and I just couldn't, I thought, oh my God, did Sandra Bullock die? Because I just love her. She's one of my favorite actresses. And so
right.
The first thing I do at 4:30 a.m. is, it's like 4:35. I'm on my phone. I'm rubbing my eyes, I'm getting to my search thing, and I'm typing in just her name. And don't you know what comes up? Is a newspaper headline that says that it's dated that day, that very morning, and it's a newspaper headline that says Sandra Bullock was killed in a skiing accident. And it was posted at 4:30 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like freaking out going, oh, my God, this can't be real. This isn't happening. And so I'm scrolling down and down on this whole webpage on this news article that's dated at this exact day and at 4:30 a.m. and go all the way to the bottom of this whole, I mean, a lengthy thread. And come to find out, this article had been posted 2 or 3 years before as a hoax, and somebody posted it again as a hoax at 4:30 a.m. that morning.
Oh, my God.
So hoax is focus.
Focus, focus.
And I was telling, remember, I mean, I texted it to Iggy and I texted it to Mary that morning, like at 6 a.m. I'm going, girl, don't believe this. But it makes you wonder where your mind actually goes, your subconscious. Where is it really going when you go to sleep? And what exactly are you really able to connect to out there? How did I connect to this hoax?
Damn, you're going to Facebook in your dreams. You're going to Facebook in your dreams.
How did I connect to that at that exact day and time right when that happened? That's insane. I mean, that was just insane. And it was like, oh, my God, what am I connecting to out there? Why would I connect to that? How did it happen?
Yeah, you know, rationally thinking, the odds are just crazy about that being just coincidence.
That's not a coincidence. I don't know what that was, but that's not a coincidence. And I was angry and kind of the protector. I did not want that to happen. And I like turned it around and just said hocus pocus as it was, you know, to her. But she was the one that was like. And, you know, and then after I read that and then I cleared that search and then I went back and that's where I found that this same article had been posted before, like 2 years before and maybe a year before that. You know, it circulated a few times as a hoax. And I just thought to myself, who are these people out there doing this hoax about someone's life? I mean, in detail, you know, about somebody getting killed on a ski accident. Who are these people, and what gives them the right to even throw that out there? That is being thrown out there in the universe. What's going to stop that from happening? You know how we think about the spoken word. You're either praying or you're cursing. I mean, seriously. When you speak it or even think it, you know how those laws of attraction in the universe and the things that happen from the things that come out of your mouth. Well, you're going to write it in black and white and put it in print and put it really out there and get all this stuff started up at that, you know, somebody's been killed. And they do this on a lot of famous people, a lot of, you know, big line names. And that's just kind of, that's freaky. Why would you do that?
It's spellcasting, like you said. It's totally, it's like putting a curse out there, and then the more people who see it add their energy to it, and they put it in their minds, and it grows and grows and grows and grows. It's. I don't know why people do it, but it's definitely dark and evil and, you know, something that is there for a destructive purpose, if nothing else, to confuse you and make you concerned and bring up some anxious emotions. I don't know why people do that. I think because we have power and we don't understand how to use it sometimes. And but we have the power, so we use it. You know, we use it every day in our lives. So on one level, when we say we're going to have, you know, I'm having a bad day today. Well, yeah, like Iggy says, the universe says, yes, you're having a bad day. Or
yes,
I'm not having it. I'm having a great day. It's a great day. Well, the universe says, yes, you're having a great day. So it agrees with us, you know?
Abracadabra, you create what you speak.
Right.
That's right.
You know, I wonder about dreams too. Sometimes it feels like maybe it's not my dream. I'm in someone else's dream, just being a character. You know, just being playing mm-hmm. my part. You know, it's like a community dream of sorts.
Yeah, it feels like that sometimes. This didn't feel like my dream. It felt like I was, you know, just dropped into this place and this woman. I was battling this woman. I mean, it was a battle. As silly as that dream sounds, you know, not a lot went on in that dream. But as silly as it sounds, the emotion and the feeling, the anger, and the stuff that I felt, you know, when I woke up, I knew that meant something. Just by the way I felt, I knew that meant something, and I didn't know what. And then when I searched it, and then it, you know, led me on to the other thoughts. What did I connect mm-hmm. to, and why did I connect to that? That wasn't something I was looking for, but it felt like I was in someone else's, I got put into someone else's, in their way or something, you know, to try to stop it. It was strange.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of what this... The Pisces energy is so weird, and there's so much of it right now that either people really gel with it or else have a hard time with it if you don't have any of that Pisces or water sign energy. And a lot of people just get very kind of throw their energy and are, you know, pick up the sadness of others or... have maybe boundary issues or get into these victimization things. Or if you have that Pisces energy in you or in your chart, it helps you, you're almost like an amplifier. It's like your antenna is raised.
Mm-hmm.
So with Adriana's case here, I think it's your receptors were up. So it's really, well, the problem when you have some of that Pisces energy is when there's stuff in Pisces, and especially now there's five planets in Pisces, that you're lit up.
Uh-huh.
So that there's so much stuff coming in. I mean, you're attuned to that stuff, and one of the Pisces things is connectedness, and, you know, we're all droplets of water in the same ocean, but it's that collective mind, so it's much easier to pick up these radio signals and all this stuff that's out there. So some people get, like, overwhelmed with it, even if they do have that Pisces energy. Sometimes they get, like, overwhelmed because they're just, like, picking up stations all over the place, and you're like, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
It's like that 3D barrier is down or very weak at the time. So some people just get overwhelmed because they just feel all the, you know, even just with the elections on Tuesday, it's like you can just pick up all the anger and all the frustration and, you know, just it's hard to, we don't have those normal barriers to shutting down all that external
mm-hmm.
noise and emotions and feelings of other people that we would normally have. So it can be just like exhausting, psychic overload.
It's like a surgery without closing it up.
Yeah.
That's what it feels.
A little bit.
I was feeling that on Monday. It was still, like I was saying on Monday's show, I felt like really just kind of one foot in one world and one foot in another world. And it was like watching my life kind of more than just being so engaged in it. I was like stepped back a little bit and was like, oh, okay, well, this is interesting. You know, a kind of a feeling of disconnection or half disconnection, not in a bad way, but more like getting a higher point of view and going, you know, I see people are so concerned about these things, but, you know, I'm not so worried about it. You know, it's,
I think I said on Monday's show that, you know, it was a feeling like, you know, well, you know, I've lived a good life and I want to, you know, I look forward to more years of life, but I'm okay with not, you know, with checking out if it's okay, if that's what I have to do. Not in like a weird way, but just more like knowing that I'd be okay. Knowing that I'd be okay no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
in the terms of the reality.
So I think some of you are at my I can't remember all the stuff I say or when I say it. I think some of you were at my class like in January, and I was talking about bus stops.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The train station.
Where it's easy for people to get off. It's easy for people to get off the ride when it's probably the easiest for people to get off the ride when there's all this kind of Pisces energy, which is another level. What it does, it kind of it dissolves boundaries from this reality and the others. So that's part of where we get all the paranormal and the psychic stuff and whatnot. You're getting bleed-throughs from these other dimensions, other realities, because the veil is so thin at this time of year. So expect that through the next couple days still, that energy will be really high up through Saturday.
And then what?
And then Sunday... Sunday, the sun moves in. Sunday is International Astrology Day. Also, Sunday is, if we didn't have these crappy bastardized calendars, Sunday is actually the new year. It's actually the first day of the new year. So I don't make January 1st New Year's resolutions, because there's nothing significant about January 1st except you turn the page on an incorrect calendar that doesn't function properly. Sunday is the actual new year where there is an energetic shift in there. Mm-hmm. Just the sign of Aries. Aries represents new beginnings, new starts, newborns. That's really, and in fact, Iggy, you're from Peru. I just commented on one of my friend's posts in an astrology group the other day that he was actually talking about, in Peru, they still honor March 20th as New Year's.
Really?
I believe. Isn't that correct?
I would have to verify that. I don't remember celebrating
This guy had posted a bunch of pictures and stuff, and it was for, and maybe that was just his interpretation. Maybe he just did, but I had gotten the impression from his post that, because I think he's in Peru or has been there or something. So I kind of wanted confirmation from you if.
But
he had posted some cool stuff where they have a ceremony and stuff. So maybe that's just the group that he's involved with. Mm-hmm. But
that,
to
that
me,
surprised me. As far
the
as
first
it being
day of
March, really?
Yeah. Because it's the beginning of spring. Look at all the connotations to spring. Beginning of new life, rebirth, mm-hmm. regrowth. You know, we're getting to where the sun is up longer and plants start to grow and you have baby birds and squirrels out in your yard now or getting close to it. So it just... They say they changed the old calendar because there were some incorrect things about it. I think that was a manipulation to keep us off. Of course, I think everything is a manipulation. But I think that was a manipulation to keep us off of our normal emotional, spiritual cycles, just to keep us off. And, you know, I mean, because January 1st every year astrologically correlates with 9 degrees Capricorn, which is not anywhere is that a significator of change. It's not even, there's not even a sign change that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's March 20th, just symbolically and mathematically and everything else just makes more sense. That,
well, you know, well, I moved in here 4 years ago. I moved in January, and one of my shows I did was on my bell ringer that was visited here 4 years ago, back in 2012, and it was in March. And I made a, just for myself, I kind of did a yearly timeline. So my year, I've always started in March because of that first interaction that I had from either a parallel universe or a being through a portal that happened here. That happened in March. It was March the 16th was when that happened. And so I kind of every year make a chart as things happen out of the ordinary to me and people that come into my life that are kind of sent to me. I kind of keep a chart all year long from March to March of what that year has, what that year brings. But that is my timeline for when it starts is in March.
Well, that's very interesting because you're actually using the correct calendar as opposed to 99% of the people.
Well, Mark, yeah. You know, when we rebuild the world based on the Georgia Guidestones, we'll make New Year's Day the March 20th.
Right. I think that's a fine idea. Yes, I mean, when people say they're making New Year's resolutions on, you know, December 31st, I just look at them and I say, okay.
Good for you.
I was like, that. Okay. I don't want to sabotage your thinking because we create our own reality, and you can create or step out of situations whenever you want once you see how the matrix operates, if you will. But yeah, when people say they're making New Year's resolutions on December 31st, I just, okay. Have fun.
Fine.
Yeah,
whatever pleases you, yes.
I find myself saying a lot lately, nope, not today, not my reality. I don't choose this. And I just go
on. That is a phrase I use as well, too. I do not accept this, is the phrase that I've been using.
Well, Iggy, you know, I would like to make a field trip to see those Georgia Guidestones someday. I think that should be on our list.
Ooh,
yeah,
I think it definitely. I'm all up for that.
I think they got stolen.
No, they're still there.
We can stop by and see my mom while we're on our way.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd be great.
You know, like you said, there's only one person left now, right? I guess there was a banker who financed the deal, and he's dead now. And then I think the guy who made the stones is the last guy who's left.
Yeah, he's the last one left.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back.
Okay.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul call.
Welcome back to Spontaneous Spirit Talk Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. And kiss me, I'm Perugan. All right, so.
What color are your underwear today?
Well, I'm all red.
Who says he's wearing any?
Yeah, I'm the naked shaman, remember?
Well, I did something kind of interesting. I sent off for one of those Ancestry DNA kits, and I'm going to go do that and see what my real DNA says that I am related to.
Wow.
Nice.
Right on.
We might be related.
Because my
you might be Peruvian.
My father. Yeah, it might be. It might be. It might be Greek or something. Who knows? But
My grandmother was known for stretching the truth, so I don't know if the things that she's passed down are actually true about our ancestry or not. So I'm curious to see.
Mm-hmm. What did she say? What did she stretch?
Well, for one thing, she lied about her age on her on her marriage certificate.
You call grandma out, man? You call your grandma out?
And there's this very mysterious story about how her first husband just disappeared, you know?
Oh, God. She lives in Alaska or what, David?
No. She was in Washington State, but my father remembers that there were some very Native American people who would come by once in a while, you know, it would be like relatives visiting, but mm-hmm. it's hard to say what tribe they belonged to or who they were or, you know, so especially before my dad passes away, I'd like to have a little bit of an answer about our real ancestry as far as where we come from. I know on my mom's side that we go back to England and Ireland and Germany and in Sweden, all the European countries there too. It's funny because I was reading along with the conspiracy theories, one of them is that there's sort of a royal bloodline that gets elected to the presidency, and those people who have the most royal blood, mm-hmm. Mark knows what I'm talking about, most royal blood get, they get elected. And they link back to, John Lackland Plantagenet, who was king of England at one time before the Tudors took over, I believe. But mm-hmm. I am related to that dude, so I'm eligible to be president.
Yeah, and there's only one guy who was. So you know what? He was related to the brother of that guy. So that's the same bloodline, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Funny.
Donald Trump must not be related to that bloodline, huh? You think that's why everybody's going bananas?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you can buy your way into the club, too. I don't know.
But you have a lot of European heritage, Iggy.
I do.
Saying the other day. So.
Yeah, my father's a Marquis.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to be a shaman, okay? That's enough work there.
You know, I took about 7 or 8 months and I traced back, you know, in my spare time through these various websites trying to find these relatives and put it together. And it's interesting mm-hmm. because you link into families that, you know, are maybe even semi-famous or whatever, and it almost brings the past. And carrying forward into the future to create, you know, many other people, but me, and also, you know, that are now looking back and finding them in the past. It's strange. You wonder if, you know, 300 or 400 years from now, someone's going to be tracing their family back and, oh, hey, David Rutland. Oh, interesting. Or Iggy Gert.
But you know what's cool? You know what's really cool is that we have all this technology, okay? When they do the research for us and when they look for our names, we've got YouTube channels, we've got website information recorded, so it'll be a lot easier, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Genealogy will be a heck of a lot easier down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's my great-great-great-grandpa Iggy. Boy, he was a weird one.
They do everything they can to make you pay for the information still right now.
Yeah, they do. And in fact, you know, once I get this DNA test done, then if I join the Ancestry.com, you know, club or membership, then I can find real people who share my DNA and I can connect with their lines. But, of course, you have to pay for that, too.
Yep. Yes, you do.
I've taken a couple of trips and I've actually found gravestones of people that I'm related to here in Ohio. It's kind of neat to touch base like that too.
Yeah, I've talked with Adrian about. I know several of us are got into this genealogy kick the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a website too. I think it's like find a grave or something like that. And you can search by, you can put in names and stuff like that and, you know, search different states. And a lot of them you can find pictures of tombstones and stuff which have information, you know, date of birth, date of death, you know, maybe additional stuff on top of that which will help.
Then go to the census bureaus, too, from way back. Get a lot of information and documents that you can actually look at, you know, of handwritten documents of who was in what household where and who were the, you know, sons, daughters, and fathers and mothers and all that. I found a lot going through the Find a Grave and then looking at just the census documents.
Did you find the census documents online?
Yeah, just type in like the, you can go to like the 1840 census, U.S. census, and go to the state, you know, whatever state you're looking in. And there's usually, picks you out, there's usually either the document itself, if it's been typed, but most of them are still handwritten. And you can see, you know, enlarge the picture of the photograph, whatever it is, and you can see the names and you know, if it was the mother, the father, the son, daughters, and their age at the time, like in 18 or 1940. I forget how far back they actually go. I've been tracing things. Oh, I've got them back on, back to 1830s. What's this other? There's another one called, I think, Moose Roots or something like that. You'd be surprised the information you can find that people started trees on that, and that's pretty, you know, I don't think you, I found a lot of stuff on there, and I've not, you know, had to join it. Just by the person's name will be highlighted, and you can click on that name and just keep going back further.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. But,
yeah, actually, at one of your events, Iggy, at the restaurant, I don't remember what it was. Our friend Jim Hetzer was there, and there was a woman that was a friend of his, and she had had a website. I think it was called Ancestries. I've got it linked somewhere if you need it. I may have sent it to Adrienne already, but I guess Ancestry.com had actually bought her information and stuff from her. So like she doesn't add on to her site anymore, but she had all kinds of free stuff on there where she had a very extensive. So I guess she was kind of one of the beginning contributors to Ancestry.com.
Oh, wow.
But her website still, and I can't remember her name, but it's one of Jim's friends. He would probably probably know who it is.
It could be anybody. He's got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
I mean, if you asked him, he would know who.
Well, you know, when I was doing when I was looking into the DNA testing and everything for that, I came across, you may have even seen it on TV, it's called 23andMe.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, they run a DNA test like Ancestry does, but they also give you your hereditary factors for, you know, smoking and heart disease and some other health issues and things like that. And as I was I was just debating whether to go with either one or the other of those, and Ancestry was cheaper, so I went with that. But I'm glad I did, because the one that, the 23andMe, is owned by the wife of the person who owns Google.
Wow.
And so they say that they're not going to sell your DNA information, but they also said that with Google, too, and I can just imagine that you'll start getting these, you know, these insurance people calling you or sending you information, and, you know, that it could go into some big database and affect your health insurance, and I don't know, but it's spookier. It's a little spookier than Ancestry's DNA one.
And we're worried about Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We just saw, you're going to get cancer in 13 years. We're going to have to raise your life insurance rates now.
That's right. That's right. You know, I think Donald Trump is a distraction from some of the things going on. I think that he's there to just kind of, you know, be like a hand puppet. Hey, look at me over here and doing this.
Yeah. Well, he is. I said that all along.
He loves that role.
He is the main distraction to keep us from seeing what's really going on. Just
right.
Like the DARK Act did not pass. Was that
right?
That was on Tuesday, you know. And
Super
I was
Tuesday.
Glad that there was, yeah, I was glad there was a lot of people, you know, that were posting to call your senator now so that this doesn't pass today. And apparently it worked. So.
Yeah, you know,
that's,
it works,
you know,
when we pay attention.
Making it mandatory for them to list the GMO on the label. They were trying to, you know, make it to where they didn't have to list if your food contained GMO. That was, you know, everybody was being distracted with everything else to even really focus on that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like the crap that the, you know, the laws that they passed at 3 a.m. in the morning when nobody's,
yep,
you know, usually awake.
Yeah, or also they'll pass stuff like on the weekends and stuff when the news cycle is way, you know, because everybody during the week, everybody gets up and checks their email and sees their Yahoo News, and so I mean the media cycle is much different on the weekends, and there's even some, you know, conspiracy theories as to why they had so many of the like Democratic debates on the weekend, as opposed to the week, just because people aren't home watching TV on the weekend as much.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They're all drumming.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it works if we pay attention, but there's so much distracting us, or we become so numbed and involved in some silly stuff like, you know, what the Kardashians are doing or who's on The Bachelor tonight. And, you know, we don't really pay attention to what's going on. But if we focus on it, if we pay attention and if we take action, they have no other choice but to work, or else it becomes obvious that, you know, that we're not in control. So, that's what makes it work, is when we make it work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are awesome.
Hey. Right back at you, Slick.
Yeah.
No.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
I'm going to get a bill for that, I think. You're going to send me a bill for that one.
Well, I will never look at that part of the movie again the same.
Yeah, every time we look at it, that's in our show. That's funny.
Well, I just want to add before the show ends, I just want to add that I'm coming out with not just one but two new books here pretty soon. I'm going to be turning my Evolution Within, which is now on Kindle book, I'm going to be turning that into an actual print book, and then also going to be coming out with As the Crow Flies 2, which is more of my collected social media posts and things. And there'll be some unpublished material in there, some things that people haven't seen before that I'm going to be getting in there too. So that's kind of exciting for me, you know. It's, you know, my mom and dad like my book, so if nothing else, there's that. So.
Okay.
That's awesome. Good job.
Yeah, well,
so what
we'll
is everyone else doing? Good, thank you.
Well, I want to sing Happy Birthday.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Mark.
Happy birthday, Mark. Mark, oh, it's Mark's birthday.
That's tomorrow, right.
Thank you. On Sunday, which is International Astrology Day.
Oh, is it on Sunday?
Hey,
take the song back. No, happy birthday, Mark. I wasn't sure if we'd be able to see you.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it Saturday to drum. I've got a pulled muscle on my back that's been bothering me for a couple weeks. Hmm. So I seem to be good for a day or two, and then it comes back, so... Not sure if I'll drum, but I will try and stop by anyways. Mm. I tend to get too rambunctious.
Dating young girls, Mark, that'll do it to you, you know? They have dogs and mice and snakes. And
we have a small farm going. There's no doubt we have an animal rescue society in her house, so
you know you got to stretch out before you get busy, my friends.
Actually, we're building an ark too, so we're trying to get two of every animal. So between us, we've got two cats and two dogs and two rats, and then more than two fish. So that's a good start, I think.
Yeah, I'm good.
I don't know if fish really need to get on an ark. I think they can just kind of swim along beside it.
Right. The fish can swim in tow.
Well, hey, I love you guys. I'm going to drop off because Bo is wanting to take me on a walk. So,
okay, Davis.
It's wonderful to talk to you. I really enjoy our conversations. And even if nobody else is listening, we're having a good time here.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oh, they're listening. They're listening going, what the heck? No, I'm shy.
What am I listening to?
We
no.
love you.
Naked Men on Treadmill.
I love you all. That's right.
All right, brother.
I love you.
Be well.
Talk to you later.
All right.
That's right. We've got two crows for the ark there. So.
Yeah, you do. You have two crows. That's absolutely right.
And my
well, I guess
two fishes, so that can be the
two fishes.
Fishes.
Yeah, and a naked shaman and a lion.
A naked lion.
A hairless lion, huh?
She got into her birthday suit.
I stay in my birthday suit as much as possible.
Well, folks, you know where the show's going now. We're going from spontaneous spirit talk to our second half of our show. Just talk.
Right. This is where you got to give the listeners a second to send their kids out of the room.
Yes.
This is madness.
All right, guys. Any closing thoughts? Anything you want to leave the listeners besides the visuals we just gave them?
Well,
this is radio.
Whatever's going on up there with the planet, it's been kind of a rough time lately, for me anyway, and people around me. Not so much for me, but a lot of people in my family and a lot of things kind of at work with different people. So there's some kind of hard energies, I think, that people are dealing with right now. Just hang in there and try to, you know, hang on, because hopefully it's not gonna last forever. That's what I keep telling people anyway. And they're like, how long? How much longer? And I'm like, I'm not sure. I have to ask my astrologer friend. Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, hang in there, deal with. Emotions are kind of high. There's a lot of people going through a lot of physical ailments, it seems. Some people are still getting off the train at the train station and, you know, checking out of this world and leaving and going to the next. And a lot of people dealing with a lot of things out there. So keep everyone, you know, in your thoughts and your prayers. And hang on, and we'll make it through.
Sweet. Mark?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, just the foggy kind of energy will continue for a couple more days. Sunday, when the sun goes into Aries, that's kind of a sudden jolt. Pisces rules anesthesia also. So this whole last month will kind of seem like it wasn't really here, like it was very dreamy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The energy boosts back up on Sunday when the sun goes into Aries. But we're still going to have like 4-5 planets in Pisces, so it's kind of like driving really fast through a fog bank. So just chill a little bit, let yourself rest, and
okay.
be tolerable of others.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a show coming up anytime soon, Mark?
I'm having a guest I need to get on. I did one this past Sunday for this week,
mm-hmm.
because of the primaries. So,
mm-hmm.
I've lost track of a week somewhere. I have a guest for the first, Sunday the 25th. No, Sunday's not even the 25th.
It's the 27th. Gary's show.
Okay, Sunday the 27th, I'm going to be on a friend's show on another network, and I will post that. And then
okay.
I'll be on Adriana's show that Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next show will be whatever that next Thursday is, the 7th.
Okay.
With Theodore White, and we'll be talking about global cooling, earthquakes, climate change, and some other stuff. So I've got a guest lined up for April 7th and April 21st. I've got another guy I'm trying to get on, but his schedule is weird.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find an open date somewhere before April 7th and now and after now and before April 7th to, if there's an open night somewhere, I'm trying to have the guy whose show I'm going to be on is, I want to have him on mine, but we're having problems finding a date.
Mm-hmm.
No,
sounds
work
good.
Out.
Yeah,
that was
it sure
long
will.
Of an explanation.
Hey, are you having an astrology class this month, Mark?
Yes. Next Saturday, the 27th, 7 o'clock at Mystic Nirvana. And there we'll be looking. We have an eclipse in a Saturn station. Like a week from now. So we'll kind of be looking at that, but most importantly, we'll be looking at the energy of April 17th and 18th, which is going to be off the charts. So we're going to look at some historical events, probably, conspiratorial events, because, you know, that week of April is infamous for, we'll say, manipulated false flag events, things like that. So we'll
Saturday
be looking at some
20.
Of
that. I think Saturday's the 26th. Okay.
Saturday should be the 26th.
The 26th is Saturday, that's correct, of March.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's when the next class is. And I'm also, people are asking for a conspiracy class. Again, like I was having some rabbit hole meetups, which was like pretty much just conspiracy stuff. So that's in the works for some time in the near future, date, time, place to be announced, but that's in the works.
Cool.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for being on, and David for being on. I always like to hear what you guys got rattling around in your head. And with that, I guess it's a wrap. I want to say everybody have a nice weekend. Ho'oponopono, and we'll talk to each other soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Be well, my friends.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Peace and love.